you turn in your book to the Gospel according to Luke. Luke's Gospel tonight. And we'll take a little thought from there and preach what we feel like the Lord would have us to preach to your heart tonight. Luke's Gospel and chapter number 9, if you would please, in the Word of God for tonight. Luke and chapter number 9. And I want to begin reading there, verse number 9. I want to begin reading in verse 51 of Luke's Gospel in chapter number 9. Let me get my microphone on here. I didn't call myself a phony now. I said, get on my microphone. All right. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 9 and verse number 51. The Bible said, and it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And sent messengers before his face. They went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit you're of, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. And it came to pass that as they went on the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my dead. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also answered, Lord, and said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto them, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the day. Thank you, Lord, for the service tonight. Bless your people. Bless the preaching of the Word of God. I do pray for those that's home tonight sick, unable to be in God's house. May you touch them and bless them and help them, strengthen their bodies. I pray, Lord, tonight for those that are troubled, those that are under trial, and those, Lord, that are discouraged in the way. I pray for them that you strengthen and encourage their hearts and faith. I do pray now that you'll bless us tonight as we've assembled together. Give us good grace and divine help from God. Save sinners. Get glory unto yourself and bless your people. Grant liberty, Lord, and help me to preach. I need your divine help and power. I pray you'll grant it for the honor and the glory of God. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to take our text verse tonight out of verse number 62, where our Lord says here, Jesus said unto him, as unto this one particular man, he makes a statement saying, any man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. And I want to preach for a little while tonight on why I want to finish the journey. Why I want to continue on. Why I want to continue serving the Lord and seeking the face of God and living for the honor and His honor and His glory. Now, in these verses that I just read in your hearing tonight, the Lord is making His final journey to Jerusalem. He is fully possessed and fully aware and fully understanding of all the events that follow, and yet He steadfastly sets His face to go to Jerusalem. For Him there was no turning back.
Amen.
You know, that should be the heart's desire and prayer to God for each one of us. That ought to be the resolve that we have in our heart, that there is no turning back on God. What we have started, we ought to finish. God's put us in a race, and by the good grace of God, we ought to finish the race. Now, in every race, there's some pileups, some wrecks, and accidents along the way, and we're going to have them too in this race that we're running. But God's put us in it, and God wants us to continue on running it. He doesn't want us sitting down by the wayside, by no means, and sitting on our stool of do-nothing and letting time roll by while we absolutely accomplish nothing for the glory and honor of God. But I want to continue. I want to continue this race, this course that God has set me on. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter number 50 and verses 6 and 7, He said, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. Now, I want you to notice something there. The Lord didn't say that they had to wrestle him down pluck off the hair of his face or to give his back to the smiters. But the Bible said that he voluntarily did it. He gave his back to the smiters. He didn't have to. He could have spoken the word and called 10 legions of 10,000s of angels to help him. But he didn't do that. He was called on by God to do a job, and he was satisfied and resolved in his heart that he was going to continue on and do the very will of God. And he said there, I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Is that in Isaiah? And I had to think about that verse for a little while because it goes on to make this statement. It said, For the Lord God will help me. Therefore, shall I not be confounded? Therefore have I hid my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Now that's kind of troubling there for a minute. The Lord's verse above that makes a statement how the Lord said that he was hid. That he had not hid his face from shame, but yet he turns around and says he's not going to be ashamed. And for a minute that was troubling to me, and I had to stop and think about that just for a moment. And when he hid his face from shame, I believe what he's saying there is, or that he did not hide his face from shame, it wasn't his shame, but it was the shame of the others, because he speaks about shame and spitting. You know, and it was a shame and a disgrace to those of our Lord's day that spit upon him. That's right, that spit upon him and mocked him and ridiculed him. But he said, I had hid not my face from their shame. In other words, I continued to take all their shame upon me and allow them to spit in my face. I allowed them to smite my back. I allowed them to beat me with a cat of nine tails. All that happened to me out of my own sovereign will and not them. And so we go on to say that, may I say that I should, that that should be our desire, simply to follow the example that our Lord has left us or left for us. And there, that was absolutely nothing that could deter him or cause him to ever turn back from following and doing the will of God. Amen. He came, he said, in the volume of the book, it is written of me, I've come to do thy will, O God. Amen. Our Lord never one time dreamed of turning back. Yeah. He never one time thought about sitting down on God. But his heart's desire was that he would continue in the race that God's given him. You know, and that ought to be our desire today. I really believe in all my heart and with all my soul that there's a number of God's people that entertain the idea, oh, we'll keep going to church, but we're just going to kind of set back and take it easy. As I said a few weeks ago, what we're going to do is like these people that camp out in these motels, they've got a sign on the inside that says, do not disturb. They move that sign from the inside and hang it on the outside because they don't want to be disturbed. And that's the way a lot of Baptists are today. They do not want to be disturbed. Oh, they would tell you that they're continuing on in the race that is set before them. When in reality, they sat down a long time ago. They may be putting on a fair show in the flesh for a lot of people, but the Lord looks upon the heart of man and not upon the outward appearance. And God knows exactly what's in the heart of man, and He understands what these people are doing. There's no doubt about it, and I think there's a lot of them that have given up on doing the will of God a long time ago. You know, there's a lot of things, church, that I could stand here and preach to you about tonight that is the will of God. And I could probably stir up quite a stink inside no more of a multitude than what we have here tonight. I could probably stir up a pretty good sized stink just in this little multitude in here tonight if I wanted to preach for a little while on what the will of God is and do we really want to do the will of God for our life. If we're going to do the will of God for our life, it's going to cost us something. And there's so many people that are not willing to pay the price to do something that'll bring honor and glory to God and blessing to His wonderful name. I think about them great pioneers of the earlier days, those that set out on their own without money, without food, very little food, and yet they set out on a journey to carry the gospel to those in the regions beyond them. I think about old Brother Brian Williams. He's sitting in heaven tonight, looking down upon maybe our congregation or maybe one in Mexico or maybe all. I don't know. But Brother Brian Williams was a missionary. And when he went to Mexico, he went there to do the will of God. He didn't go there to come back. He went there to do the will of God. And wherever the Lord led him, that's where he went. He didn't back down, but he went on and serving the will of God for his life. And it cost him something. It cost him a lot. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to cost you a lot and me a lot as well if we're going to do the will of God and keep on serving Him in these last days. I'm going to tell you something, church. We've not seen anything yet. I've got a feeling that they're getting ready to unleash on Christians like something like we have never seen before. Now, you say amen or owe me about that. I'm telling you, when they start killing babies openly and have no remorse about it, and when they can start putting their stamp of approval upon gay marriages and nobody's saying anything about it, don't you think for one minute that they're not going to come down on those of us that are standing for old-time religion. Now, I'm going to tell you, hey, we better anchor ourselves deep in the grace of God because we're not. There's going to be a lot of folks that's going to raise that white flag of surrender and give up. Raise that white flag of surrender and give up. And I'm going to tell you, we better stand like a rock of Gibraltar, like the rock of ages, and keep on fighting a good fight of faith and stand fast in the faith and wage a good warfare against the sinners of this world and those that would pass laws that would bring a reproach upon the name of Christ and would do damage, great damage, to the work of God. Don't you think that killing babies reproaches the name of Christ? When children are a heritage of their parents, and yet they've taken the lives of millions of people, millions of babies, and think nothing about it, to them it's not a baby. I don't know where they ever came up with the word fetus. I never heard that word mentioned a lot with a grown man. But that's all you hear now. Well, that's not a baby, that's a fetus. Well, praise God, I'm going to tell you something. My Bible tells me in Psalm 139 that every element is there to make that a baby. And it is a baby. May not be a full-grown baby, but it is a baby in its mother's womb. And yet they're killing. I'm going to tell you, we're going to have to decide whether we're going to stand and continue in the fight, whether we're going to capitulate and throw in the towel, raise the white flag of surrender and throw in the towel and give it all up. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't know about you, But our Lord, when He was smitten, when He was rejected, when He was beaten, when He was shamed and mocked, He never one time give up. He come to do the will of God, and He never finished the will of God until He bowed His head on that evening and cried, "It is finished," and yielded up the ghost and went to the grave. Then 3 days later, went back to the right hand of God. It was then and then only that He finished the will of God that He came to do upon this earth. Somebody said, what was the will of God? That He brought salvation down to man. I'm glad, thank God, that He brought salvation down to you and I, gave His life that old sinners like you and I, that ought to be in hell tonight, have been delivered from the power of sin. Amen. Forgiven of all ungodliness. Amen. Birthed into the family of God. And we are His children today. By the way, we're not second class people, praise God. Amen. We're the children of God Almighty. And I'm telling you, He protected protected our forefathers, and He will certainly protect you and I as well. Somebody said, well, now some of our forefathers really had to go through some real persecution. Well, we might also. We might have to go through some of it ourselves. We certainly may, but I'm going to tell you one thing. It'll find out it'll separate between the men and the boys. Amen. God will find out real quick who's men, and He'll find out real quick who's boys. Amen. Now, I know I'm on the radio, and some of you's going to get upset with me right here. I'm going to say it anyway. It's something that happened to me yesterday. And I hope I don't make nobody mad. Me and old Bite Man down here is always goofing off, me and She-Bite. Josh, I call him Beersheba. She-Bite, he's got about 100 names. And we're in a particular place yesterday, and I walked up to him, and these people didn't know us. And I said, boy, I'll knock your teeth out. There's a man standing there, and he said, he ain't got any teeth to knock out. Said, besides that, said, you can't knock them out anyway. Said, you're too old to knock them out. And I said, sir, and he started to walk off, and I said, sir, I lost my ability to do it when I turned 64 years old. I said, for your information, sir, that is my grandson. And the Bible said you ought not to take a dog by the ears, and you've took a dog by the ears. In other words, you've got into somebody's business that ain't your business. And he said, I can't do it no more. I said, well, bless God, I can. Amen, that's right. Now, I wouldn't have touched that man for all the money in the world. But that man grabbed the dog by the ears. In other words, he intruded into somebody else's business. I'm going to tell you, if you don't know what's going on, friend, you'd be better off keep your mouth shut. Amen. Me and my grandson, they're having a little fun that we have all the time. I mean, if I really knocked his teeth out as many times as I said I was going to knock his teeth out, that boy would have had to grown God and had to give him at least 10,000 sets of teeth since he's been in the world. But we have that kind of fun, and we joke around. And this guy really thought I was going to lay one on Josh. But I'm going to tell you, he moved on down the line. I'm just telling you, he moved on down the line. Amen. But, you know, we're going to have to... I don't know how I got off on that. But we're going to have to suffer persecution, I believe, before this thing's over. Amen. Without a doubt, I believe it's coming our way. If we're going to, I know we are if it's coming our way. Do you know what? They equate a Christian as anybody that goes to any kind of a church. Well, you can pray the rosary and be a Christian. Now, you can say whatever you want to say, but I'm telling you that I'm not a hater of the people. I do not like their religion. It's wrong. Their doctrine is wrong. But the Catholic doctrine is sending people to hell. And you can say what you want to say. I've done my homework, folks. I've studied a little bit in church history. And I'm telling you that it was the Catholics that persecuted the Baptists back in the early days of the church. And I'm telling you what, they would persecute us today if they could get by with it. Amen. That's right. And they're going to try this thing before it's over with. You wait and see what I'm telling you. Not to mention the fact that bunch of ragheads. Somebody, I forgot I was on the air. My goodness sakes alive. Don't you think that? No, hey, It's got to the point. Are you listening to what I'm telling you? And I know I'm on the air, but I'm telling you that it's gotten to the point that real Christians are in such a minority.
Amen.
That, hey, that they're going to trample over the top of us because we're in a minority, and to them, we're not the real Christians anyway. I have heard people say that they believe that a Muslim is a Christian. How can a Muslim be a Christian that don't even believe in Christ?
Amen.
Their God is not Christ.
That's right.
How can they be a Christian? Amen. Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. I know some of you are afraid to say amen. Afraid they'll hear you on the radio.
Amen. Come on.
Now, I'm telling you that we're in a little bitty minority group today.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, the Lord set His face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem.
Amen.
He knew exactly what was waiting Him there. He was fully aware that Gethsemane was there and the agonies of the garden when His soul was made an offering for our sin and our sin was laid upon His holy soul. He knew that day was coming. He knew. I heard a newscaster the other night said, well, the Lord prayed in the garden, said, Lord, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me. Said He didn't really want to die. I thought, you, how ignorant can somebody get? He wasn't talking about the death when He was talking about the cup. Hey, let this cup pass from me. He was talking about being made sin for you and I. That was what was really troubling and bothering the Lord, was knowing that the Father was going to make Him to be sin for you and I. That's right. He said it would be willing. He knew that the garden was up there. Can you see Him now? As He moves a little bit farther down from Peter, James, and John and kneels down and prays and comes back and asked Him what? Could He not watch 1 hour with Him? He said, watch Him pray that you enter not into temptation. And He went a little farther, kneeled down again and prayed the second time. They came back and they were asleep again. He went back the third time. He went a little farther and He kneeled down and prayed. Only something drastically changed in His appearance this time. His perspiration, His sweat became as great drops of blood. He was in such agony that His body was bringing blood out of the pores of His skin rather than sweat. Sweat and blood both. Water and blood both coming out of the pores of the skin of the Son of God. Hey, He was in agony, ladies and gentlemen. And knowing, hey, do you think that is not going to be painful? But realizing the pain physically and the pain spiritually that He was facing Gethsemane, He set His face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem. Like a flint, He went to Jerusalem. And this crowd down here below Him said, oh, we'll go. And the Lord said about one of them, talked about one of them, said they wouldn't go because they wanted to labor for worldly security. And I don't have time to go through all these now. That's in verse 57 and 58 and verse 59 and 60. Those who lost, some others wouldn't go, and they had lost sight of eternity and was looking for life among the dead. They said, let me go bury my dead. And they were looking for life among the dead. And that, what did the Lord say to Mary? What did that angel say to Mary? He said, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen, as He said. Now I'm telling you, this crowd here in verse 58 and 59, that young man in 58 and 59, he would not go. He wasn't going to follow the Lord simply because he had lost sight of eternity. He was looking for a life among the dead. In other words, he was looking for a life in this world. And I'm going to tell you, you can look all you want to look for life in this world, and all you'll find is death. It's all around you. Physical death. I'm everywhere you go, there's a cemetery. Do you know there's a cemetery right up here in Ridgewood Subdivision? I drove by today. I don't care where you go, you're going to drive. People, this world is full of death. And thousands of people are dying Every day. Somebody said, well, I'm just a young person. I don't care how old or how young you are. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this is judgment. And this man was looking for satisfaction and peace in a world of death. And I'm going to tell you, you ain't going to find it there. I'm going to tell you where you are finding it. I want to continue on. I want to march on like a good soldier to cross. I'm going to tell you why. There is joy and peace and contentment in the presence of the Lord Jesus. At His right hand there are pleasures forevermore, is what the Bible says. Oh, yes. Thank God I could just about turn this pulpit plumb over out in the middle of the floor. Thanks be unto God. I'm telling you, there ain't nothing like being an old-time Christian and knowing that your body, your soul, and your spirit is in the power and the protective hands of Almighty God. And I give Him the glory for it. Amen. Better believe it, dude. Hallelujah. That's right. Like somebody said, oh, John R. Rice said one time that he went out to from a train station or bus station. Said he went out to board another bus and said a fella grabbed him, said, pulled him back in a dark place and said, if you don't give me all the money you got, said, I'm going to kill you. Said old Dr. John Rice said, son, so don't threaten me with heaven. Said the guy looked at him kind of strangely and turned loose of him and walked off. I'm just telling you, they can't handle when you start talking about heaven and about Jesus. But this society we're living in today, it's a different story. They care nothing for God. I'm telling you, things are going to spiral. You listen to what I'm saying. This world is going to spiral out of control. Because men are trying to control it. When 49% of America say it's all right for queers to get married, we got a problem. And son, it's going to spiral out of control as sure as we're living here tonight. Amen. Woo. Hallelujah. That's right. Then there were those who were always looking back. There were those who were always looking back. Verses 60 and 61. Jesus said, a man that's looking back, put his hand to the plow and looking back, not fit for the kingdom of God. You better be careful looking back. How many of you in here ever plowed a field? Well, there's two. Three. I think there's three that's plowed a field. Anybody ever plowed a field knows that you don't jump on whether you're plowing with a team or plowing with a tractor. You don't jump on that tractor or grab hold of that plow with that team and start down through a field and start looking back. I'm going to tell you why. You don't know where you're going. That when you get to the other end of the field, that furrow may be like this. I'm going to tell you what, my cousin, an old boy named Joe Cousy, put me on a little Ford tractor one time. And he said, Jerry, once you plow this field, start in the middle of it. He said, I want you to start right here is where I want you to start. I want you to come back, plow this, throw it this way, come back, throw it this way, and just keep getting it wider and wider as you go. And he said, tell you what I want you to do. He said, I want you to pick you out a tree or a fence post at the other end of the field, and said, don't you take your eyes off of that tree or that post. You go directly toward it. And you know something I did? I wasn't worried about what was back there. I'd already seen what was back there. Why would I want to look back? Ooh, that just... I've already seen everything that's back there. Why would I want to go back? I've seen it all. I've tried it all. I've done it all. And take my word for it, there ain't none of it that has the value that Christ has in knowing Him in the free pardon of sin and having Him in my life. I'd rather have Him in my heart and Him in my life than to have all of it behind me. It's not worth looking back for. Amen. That's right. And I got on that little Ford tractor and headed down through that field. And sure enough, when I got to the other end, I turned around. It wasn't perfectly straight. It was about as straight as a human could get it. I'm going to tell you that. It was pretty straight. And I never once looked back. It's kind of like these kids in the Sunday school class. This teacher was talking to them. She said, now, children, she said, we don't want to look back and serving God. Said Lot's wife looked back and turned into a pillar of salt.
Yeah.
Little old boy raised his hand up and the teacher said, yes, son, can I help you? He said, that ain't nothing. Said, I was riding down the street and my mama the other day and said she looked back and turned into a telephone pole. All right. Amen. All right. I'm compelled to continue on because of the cross. When the time was come that he should be received up, the Bible says. When the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem.
Amen.
Knowing that the cross awaited him there. And yet he didn't turn back. Do you think that he did not know the agonies of Calvary?
Yeah, yeah.
The suffering?
Amen.
The shame?
Amen.
The pain? The sorrow? He knew it all. And yet he did not turn back.
Right.
Now I'm going to tell you what amazes me about it. He did it all for you and me.
Yeah, man.
Yes, sir, man.
Oh, I'm telling you, had he have turned back, we'd yet be in our sins.
Yeah,
if he had turned back, we'd yet be on our way to hell.
Yeah,
I wonder what would happen tonight to those around us that's watched us over the years. If we turn back now, how many of them would lose hope and faith in us? Some of them may be on the threshold of being saved. And if they see us turn back, they're going to say, I knew he didn't have anything. I knew it wasn't worth anything to her. Why should I follow them? If it wasn't good enough for them, it won't be for me. But I'm telling you, salvation in Jesus is good for me and you and good for everybody else and good for the whole world. I would to God the whole world have what I have. I do have an internet. I make no apologies for that. There was a fellow on there the other day. I won't name his name now. I'm going to get in trouble for this. He was interviewing the preacher. Because the preacher got to talking about the wrath of God was on, judgment of God was on America. Because God's people have sinned. And this particular radio talk show host, he said, you mean to tell me that God would judge people? America, because of people's sins? He said, well, sure, certainly. He said, that certainly don't sound like a God that I know that would love people. That I don't. The man said, God, Christians, God takes care of his Christians. He said, now, wait a minute. The talk show host said, are you telling me that God wouldn't judge America if everybody was Christian? And the man said, well, I know everybody's not going to be a Christian, but he said, I'd like to see everybody become a Christian. Oh, and this guy said, oh, my goodness. You mean people don't have a right anymore to be, and they don't have to be, they can't, they're not entitled to be whatever they want to be. They've got to be a Christian to go to heaven?
Amen.
Is that what you're trying to,
Amen.
In other words, you're telling me if because everybody's not a Christian that God's judgment is coming on America and you wish that everybody was a Christian? Well, I'm going to tell you what Paul said. Paul said, I would to God that everybody was like me, except these bonds. That's exactly what Paul said. In other words, I would to God everybody was saved. Like me, except these bonds. And this commentator wouldn't give this guy no ground at all. I wish to God I'd have been on there. Amen. I'd have burnt him up left and right. I'd have burned old Riley up the other night if I'd have been on there too. He ticked me off quite heavily. Amen. I think what I'm going to do is just...
Amen.
I'm about ready to chunk it all. That's right.
Amen.
Arguing and fighting. And they think they know what Christians are. What Christianity is, and they don't have a bit more knowledge of Christianity than a billy goat.
That's right.
They don't.
Amen.
That's why I say when the sodomites come out of the closet, they were welcome. But I'm telling you, when God's children come out of the closet, We're not going to be welcomed with open arms like the Sodomites were.
Amen. That's right.
Never have been. Why should we be now? Read history. Read a few history books. Read the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. Read some history books.
Amen.
You'll find out we've never been welcomed a great deal.
Amen.
Now, Jesus said in John 17, 18, He said, "And he, bearing his own cross, went forth unto a place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. There, where they crucified him."
Amen.
I want to continue on because of the cross. Brother, I'm going to tell you the cross. I still marvel at the cross.
Yeah,
I marvel that Jesus, God's darling Son, would give his life on Calvary for our sins. Come to this earth and die such a death as he did for you and me. Oh, people say, "I'm tired of hearing songs about the cross." Let's sing some of this modern hipped up, hip-hop, drum-beating, rattle-trapping music in the house of God. They can have it if they want it. I'll stick with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs.
Yes,
now, at the house of God, that's right.
Amen.
Now, I'm saved by His sacrifice. I serve by His sacrifice. I'm stirred by His sacrifice on the cross. Why shouldn't I want to continue because of the cross? Here's what Peter said. Peter said, "Yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." Did not our Lord say when we take communion, what did He say? "This do as oft as you do it in remembrance of me." If you ask me, He wants us to remember Him.
That's right.
That's right. Peter said, "I'll stir you up by way of remembrance." I'd like to stir some of you up tonight. Carry you back to where you were. Some of you wasn't nothing like Brother Hall but a gutter bum drunk when God found you.
Amen.
And I won't even mention the fact of what some of the rest of you were.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It wasn't any of us worth much to brag about.
Amen.
But you know something? He came in the world to save sinners like us.
Amen.
I'm glad He's not ashamed to identify Himself with me. As wicked as I was and as sinful as I still am in this flesh, He's still not ashamed to identify Himself with old Brother Hall. And He's not ashamed to identify Himself with you. If He is here tonight, He'd put His arms around us all and march right on up Island Ford Road to Center Street and right on down Center Street. Or Main Street.
Amen.
Then down Center Street.
Yeah.
And up Arch Street. Any other street that's around here. Amen. With His arms around us. He's not ashamed to call us His brethren.
That's right.
No, sir. He loves us. And I'm stirred. I get stirred when I think about Calvary. I really do.
Yeah.
When I think about looking at the face of the darling Son of God hanging there on the cross, dying for our sins and had the sins of those mockers and scoffers on His heart, and He looked up to the Father and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." In other words, their sins they commit are sins of ignorance. They know not what they do. Now, how can anybody resist such compelling love as that? I don't think we can.
That's right.
I want to continue on. Because of His constraining love, I'm glad that He loves us, and I'm not going to... His love has captured my heart. His love has circled my life. I can look in any direction I want to look in, and I can see Christ. Any direction you want to look, you ought to carry your thoughts to Jesus. Every one of them. That's right. Paul said in Philippians 1:21, he said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." What a magnificent verse of Scripture.
Yep.
For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That, you know what He's telling us there? You don't have to be afraid of death.
Amen.
You don't have to fear death. It's going to come to all of us. But we don't have to fear it.
That's right.
And I know we're all human, and there's going to be a certain amount of fear of death in all of us. We're human beings.
Yes, sir.
But we don't have to fear it.
Amen.
No, sir. We don't have to. Because to die, to live is gain. To live is Christ, and to die is gain.
Amen.
We're not losing anything in death. People say, oh, I don't want to lose my house or my car or the money I got in the bank. You poor, benighted soul. Them fruit jars ain't going to help none of us out. Them I got buried over at the house, they ain't going to help me. The ones you got buried around your house, they ain't going to help you either. They won't do you a bit of good, not a bit of good. I really believe there's coming a day in this world when bartering money, when money to barter with will be a thing of the past. It'll amount to nothing. If you don't have gold, that's right. It started that way, and it very well. And silver, you used to measure out shekels of silver. It started that way, and it might end that way. Because I'm telling you, all the paper money in the world is worthless. It's just a piece of paper. Well, we can barter with it now, but all they got to do is just sign their name on a little piece of paper. And the bartering days of paper money is gone. And I don't care how much you got in the bank, if it's not in gold, silver, you ain't worth much. That's right. And I want to continue on because of the children God's given me. I don't want to disgrace them.
Amen.
My boy was told me, we saw a preacher that you know, that fell, committed adultery and fell. My boy came to me when he heard about it. He said, Daddy, I remember the last message I heard him preach. He said the title of his message was, It's Time to Take the Trash Out. And the whole time he was preaching that, he was living or committing adultery with another preacher's wife. I wouldn't want that to be said about me. I don't know.
Amen.
I don't want to deceive my children. I don't want to lose my testimony. I don't want to desert my children. I want to stand right with God with them and be with them. And then I want to continue on because of the crowd that's going to hell. Lord, help us to open up our eyes.
Amen.
Look on the fields that are white in the harvest. Because there's plenty of people dying and going to hell today.
Yep.
We might just be able to win a few before we go. If there is such a thing as winning them. We can witness to them. I know that.
Yep.
We can pray for them. I know that.
That's right.
We can invite them to the house of God. I know that.
Right.
But you can lead a horse to water. She can't make him drink. And I want to continue on because of my conscience. Can you imagine these men that have fallen? These preachers that have fallen? Can you imagine their conscience and how they feel? Can you imagine how a man would feel having committed adultery against his wife? And every time he looks at his wife, him and her both are bound to think about that sin. Now, I'm talking about being married. I'm talking about being married to the person you're married to. R-A-T, rat, now. I'm not talking about divorce situations. I'm talking about being married to right now. Can you imagine your conscience? And what thoughts like that would do to it? I don't see how a preacher that commits that sin you'd ever stand in the pulpit and preach again. I don't believe I could ever do it. May God help us. May God help us. Let's stand together.